Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the park. The heat finally broke. Nice breeze. Beautiful day. So these two have come to us all the way from Tampa. This is their first stop on their North American tour. First and last stop. Yeah. So we're glad to have Josh and Kristen with us and the kids. We're going to have a good morning. I asked them to share. We've been talking all summer about we do recover, you know, from the challenges in life that come at us and that following Christ said he's faithful. And so you guys had that big challenge of a move when you took my grandchildren away from me. No, I'm not bitter. It's fine. You got to leave and cleave. So I understand. So we're thrilled to have them back. You know, last night there was a lot of excitement in the house with the cousins. So much excitement, I turned off my hearing aids. This is a nice thing that I never realized about hearing aids. You're just like, yeah, I don't want that. Bam, gone. You're like, oh, now it's at a normal level.
Yeah, I think I heard some thumping on the walls yesterday.
We didn't hear you thumping on the walls at all. We didn't hear anything.
I heard them thumping on the walls.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So let's have a word of prayer, and I'm just going to turn it over to Josh and Kristen, and the kids have something special planned as well, and we'll have a good time together. Lord, we thank you so much for gathering us again in the park. Father, I pray that as we get to visit today with Josh and Kristen, that, Lord, you would just encourage. You'd encourage them. You'd encourage us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back. Thank you. Thank you.
So nice to see all the familiar, friendly, smiling faces. It truly warmed my heart.
Absolutely.
Getting to talk with you guys. Not everyone.
Not everyone yet. Yeah, we'll get there. So, you know, it was, a month ago or a couple months ago where Dad was asking if, when we came up, if we wanted to lead and share and talk about what's going on. And I think we were kind of initially hesitant, like, what are we really going to say? Like, I don't know that we have anything profound to share. And we thought about it for a while and I think just decided to sort of share what's going on in life and talk to you guys like friends and family. And sometimes I think that's what it's about. The theme for this morning from our part is sort of God's faithfulness and how God is faithful through changes and through challenges and maybe a little bit talking about how God can restore. And so we're going to just sort of try and weave some of that story into the morning as we go and sing some songs and hang out and talk. And we were joking that it's a little bit like when Out of the Dust came and they sort of played and shared and they have their story, but they do that a lot more. We really don't practice.
Yeah, so we are not their level.
I called it more Into the Dust. It's probably
we're dusty.
End up. So we'll sing some songs and we'll share some, and I think the kids are excited to come up and do something as well. But so if you have the words and you want to sing along, great, and we'll go from there. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me shaking. So I won't be going under. I'm strength, 'cause I've built my life on Jesus. He never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. Switch back and forth between apps, and this tablet's a little old and a little slow, so there might be some stalling between.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being old and slow.
Nothing wrong with being old and slow. You can always be replaced. Oh, wait.
He's sassy this morning.
Whoa. So, I think a lot of you know our story, but maybe some people don't. So Kristen and I recently moved to Tampa. It's been a year, which is hard to believe. We moved last June, and it's been going really well. But so the way we ended up down there is years and years ago, I was a graduate student and doing research and wanted to be a researcher. But then decided through my dad's liver transplant and the opportunity to donate to him that I really wanted to go into medicine. And so I went to medical school, sort of trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do? What do I want to do? What should I do? I was thinking maybe I'd go into, you know, family practice or something with pediatrics. And I just really liked being in the operating room, which I think was hard and scary for me. Surgeons certainly have a reputation of working hard and not being around a whole lot, which is somebody who really wanted to have a strong family life that worried me. But Chris and I talked a lot as I went through my clinical years, and she sort of knew how much I enjoyed being in the OR. And we talk about it and say, I just don't know if this is the right choice. And she said, you know, you can't do something for your rest of your life if you're not going to be happy. Like, we'll find a way to make it work. And I know what your priorities are. Like, this will all work out. So I decided in medical school that I wanted to do urology, which sort of sounds funny. We'd always joke around, like, who chooses to do urology? Actually, Kristen was at a lake house party or a camp with one of our friends and was talking to somebody there, one of their friends, and she's like, yeah, my husband, he's in medical school, and he actually thinks he wants to do urology, which is weird, I know. And the guy was like, yeah, that is weird. And he was a urologist, so he was laughing about that. But what drew me to urology was actually the cancer side of things. And so I had done cancer research when I was in graduate school. And going into urology, I just wanted to do that side of things. We do a lot of kidney and bladder and prostate cancer, and there's a whole mix that drew me there. A lot of our patients do really well, and we're able to have these long relationships with them. But there's also some parts of, especially bladder cancer, where treatment's not perfect by far, and so there's a lot of room for improvement. And so I was sort of drawn to both this ability to help and feel like as a surgeon you're making a difference, but also these opportunities for research. So I entered residency knowing I wanted to do that, and I give all that backstory because it sort of set up this weird situation where to do what I wanted to do, I knew after residency I needed to do more training. So residency is 5 years, which is a long time, but it goes quick. And I knew from even before starting that at the end of that period, I would then need to leave and go do more training, right? So not a lot of jobs do you start with saying like, okay, I start on this day and I know I am done this day and that will be it here. And that was sort of our situation. So we started residency at Maine Medical Center July 2018, and we knew we'd be moving July 2023. And it was sort of a weird feeling, I think, always, because we just sort of always had that in our mind. And in some ways, it was a little hard and a little scary to make relationships. And
yeah, Rachel, she's not here, but I remember she was like, I don't want to get close to you if you're leaving in 5 years. And I was like, no, be my friend still. So I think people did have that in the back of their minds, knowing that
we were going to do that. And so, you know, that was always part of things, and we sort of just had to trust that was God's plan, that was going to be part of things. And so we trusted that as part of God's plan, he would put us where we were meant to be. And we also trusted that he would provide for us, which was scary because he had provided for us through our whole lives. But if you've been a Christian a while, if you've been in the church, if you think about these things closely, maybe you realize this, but I think a lot of us don't realize that sometimes the way God provides is through the people in our lives, right? I think most of the time the way he provides is that way. Okay. And so sometimes that makes it easy to sort of not forget his provision, but to sort of see it through a different light and say, well, we've had this provision because of the people in our lives, because we had family, because we had all this. And that had been true. Medical school, we finished my parents' basement into an in-law apartment. They did that for us so we could have children and not have to wait, you know, until I'll be 37 this year, finally finishing training. I'll finish training and then be 38 and then hopefully retire at 40. And so we'd had all these things. So, God had provided for us, but trusting that that was going to continue, I think, was really hard. So we were trying to trust that God had a plan, that he would provide, that he would be there for us. And we went on to face this new challenge sort of with that in the back of our mind. And even as I'm saying this, as I was putting this together, it's sort of like, I don't want to build this up to be like too much. We moved to a job in Florida. It wasn't the biggest, scariest thing anyone's ever done. Like we didn't go out as missionaries. We didn't say, hey, we're going to move to Africa and figure out what's going on. We moved to a job and a place. So, when the people of Israel left Egypt, they went out and they were leaving slavery and they had to cross a parted sea and they were being pursued by Pharaoh. And then they wandered in the desert for 40 years. I mean, we drove down the East Coast for 5 days. That was not quite the same journey. We didn't eat manna. We were eating at restaurants. So, but we trusted God would provide because he has provided for us, for people in all of time. In Exodus, some of the verses, as we think about that part where the Israel's left, it says in Exodus 14, I'm just sort of going to jump around, but it says, as Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, right? They're trying to leave, and they're being pursued. None of you guys chased after us. You're inviting us to come back, but thankfully none of you chased us in your chariots. The Israelites, they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? And so we know that God's people have always sort of had moments of panic as we go on to face these things. We were no different. Verse 12, it says, didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. But if you know the Bible, you know that God did deliver them. They eventually really reached that place, and he provided for them there. And God has done so, the same for us. And I think Kristen's going to talk a little bit more about that. But we're going to sing another song as I switch over my tabs here.
Just taking the camp playlist. All right, you guys know this one, so feel free to sing along.
All my words fall short, and I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, and every song must end, and you never do. And so I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing that's fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. I've got just response, I've got just one move, with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you.
don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul, cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Yeah.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. All I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
So I have the pleasure of just sort of updating you on all the wonderful ways, you know, kind of piggybacking off of Josh, what Josh said about some of the wonderful ways God has been faithful and providing for us. And I felt like gratitude was a really fitting song to lead us into this portion because, you know, our cup truly does overflow. We feel like we're just so overwhelmed by how graciously and faithfully God has provided for us in this new chapter down in Tampa. And just a little backstory about me, which I think most of you know. So yeah. I like look out at this crowd and I'm like, I know you guys, but just in case you don't know this part about me, I am from Florida, but I'm not from the Tampa area. And so my family is about 2.5 hours south in the Bonita Springs, Estero, Naples, Fort Myers area. So with traffic, it's like a 3-hour drive. So I do have family down there, and that's been great. You know, we obviously lost a big chunk of family when we moved away, but it's been really nice kind of reconnecting with my family and just that peace of knowing there is family close by. I mean, we were used to having Scott and Robin 3 minutes away, and now my parents are 3 hours away. So it's a little different. It's been an adjustment, but with the way residency and fellowship works, you don't get to choose where you go. The program chooses you, essentially. And so we didn't know that we were going to end up in Florida. We ranked Florida number one, but it wasn't a guarantee. And so, you know, right off the bat, that was just one of the ways, you know, God provided for us, as he knew I needed, especially me, I'm needy. He knew I needed family around. And so there's just that sense of peace being in the same state. I mean, we could have ended up in North Carolina and truly had no family around for hours and hours. And now my family is just a drive away. And so that's been really amazing and really helpful. My mom came up to see Chloe's dance recital. You know, that was something I was like, oh, you know, Robin and Scott and Char and the kids, you know, who's going to come see Chloe in her first dance recital? And, you know, my mom was able to come up for that. And Josh is going to share later, he's going away to Africa for an extended period of time. And so my parents are going to come up and help me with the kids. And so that kind of stuff is just, you know, that has God's fingerprints all over it. Like, he knew I would need support in some way. And so I'm really thankful to have my family nearby. And it's been fun. There's lots of cousins. I'm one of 5 kids. They all still live in the Fort Myers area. So they come up and visit. And I think it kind of helps fill that void because our kids were so close with their cousins here and their aunts and uncles. And so I'm just really grateful that my family has been able to kind of not fill, you know, it's not like they're being replaced, but it just kind of helps fill that void because it was really hard for our kids and for us to leave what we had behind. So super grateful for that. And so we, you know, we had it really good here. I mean, we had fantastic grandparents who were super involved in our kids' lives. And I'm sure you know, because we're all church family here, we're super close. You guys know Scott and Robin were just, like Josh mentioned, supported us through Josh's residency and were there with our kids, blueberry picking, strawberry picking, fairs. Scott dragged me to a bunch of fairs. But, you know, it's just, they invested in our kids through time. And I just love that because I think, you know, kids, I read this quote once. It was like, kids spell love T-I-M-E. Don't roll your eyes at me. But it's true. Like, they really do. Time is really, like, you know, how you can really show your love for kids. And I and our kids just loved spending time with family. And obviously, Shara and Jake were such a big part of our lives and, you know, loved our kids like their own. And so we had really awesome family support. And then obviously our church family, we love you guys. And we you know, raised our family in this church. And, you know, that was also really hard for us to leave. We had a wonderful life group who we became really awesome friends with over the years and built a lot of memories with them. And so we had that awesome support group. And also, we lived in a great neighborhood. We had awesome neighbors who, you know, babysat our kids when we couldn't afford to pay a babysitter. Or, you know, my neighbor owned a daycare, and so she would let us, I was a stay-at-home mom with multiple kids, and she would let me come over. And so we just had an awesome support unit. And so the idea of leaving all of this behind was so overwhelming for me, and I was terrified, you know, to move to this new city and know no one. Like I said, that's why I gave the backstory about my family being in Fort Myers, you know, almost 3 hours away, because even though it's Florida, they're not close by. So that terrified me to be in a city all alone. And what if there's an emergency? Who do we call? You know, who do you put on that emergency contact, you know, when you're filling out preschool applications or, you know, whatever? And I remember Robin assuring me, you know, you will find a church, you will get plugged in, and you will find your people. And so I clung to that promise from Robin, and I clung to that promise with God. And, you know, it brings me to Philippians 4:19. It says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." You know, and so basically just God will meet your needs. And like I said, God knows I'm needy. So you know, I really just hung tight to that promise that God will meet our needs. And so, you know, would we find a church again? You know, like I said, we have such a close church family here. And like, how do you find that right away? And those relationships take time to build. And so I was like, okay, yeah, we might find a church, but maybe it'll take time to find the right church. And so, you know, we were driving around looking for houses before we even moved down, and we passed by a sign, like an advertisement for a church camp in the neighborhood where we were looking for houses. And I said, oh, that could be, you know, something we try out for the kids. And so God literally sent me a sign. He was like, here's this giant summer camp at this church. And we're like, sure, all right, got it, we'll sign them up. So I came back to Maine and I signed them up while we were still living in Maine. And so I instantly made a connection with the woman on the phone at the church. There was a scheduling conflict with something with Calvin, and she was so lovely, the woman I spoke to, and was, you know, asking me where we were moving and, oh, telling me about restaurants in the area and, oh, you're gonna love this and that. And she was just super warm and welcoming, and just right off the bat made that connection with someone at the church. And that has since just evolved into multiple, you know, friendships. Our kids loved the church camp. You got to see a little slice of song they learned there. But the kids loved the camp. So then we just started going to this church on Sundays. And again, just immediately felt this warm welcome from people. You know, it's the South, so everyone's hugging you. And, you know, it was great. ended up meeting a young family who told us about their life group, and they kind of took us right under their wings and got us involved in a life group right away. That has led to, you know, they've asked Josh and I to host a workshop at the church, and they've, you know, asked us to be on hospitality teams, all this stuff. And I was just so relieved that we found a church that reminded me of our church here, that, you know, in Florida, the churches can be big, and you can kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Or they have snakes.
But don't throw me off. No, I'm nervous. So you can get lost in the shuffle in some of these bigger churches, and I was really worried about that. And I'm just so grateful. Again, God's fingerprints, like, He are all over this. He has provided. We've found a church that we love, and they are, you know, constantly trying to keep us involved. And we've made some really great friends, really great connections there. And I'm super grateful for that. And you know, He just constantly is providing. You know, like I said, we joined a life group down there, and we've made some friends. And so now, on that emergency contact, I can, you know, put their names on there. Or, you know, if I need a friend to hang out with, because I'm missing Shara, you know, I have girlfriends now. And so I'm just super thankful for that. Like, we've sort of are finding our place, and, you know, we found a good church, and we're really happy. So this move has been part of a providential plan. Like, I don't think that sign was a coincidence. I think, you know, that was an ultimate blessing, and, you know, God's goodness on display in our lives, you know, so far in Tampa. It's been really great. And so we're really happy. And so this next song we're gonna sing, it's Goodness of God, and it's a song that I sing every night to Colton, and the words just really speak to my heart, because I really do. Every single lyric in that song just is really a reflection of my heart. And through every chapter we've been through in our marriage, you know, God really has been good, and He's faithful, and we're really grateful for that. So if you know the words, I'm sure you do, go ahead and sing along with us. Goodness of God.
Of the goodness of God. so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
So, God has definitely provided for us, and as I said, you know, this was not maybe the biggest move anyone's ever made, but I think it's important to realize that doesn't have to be the biggest thing ever, right? Like, if we believe in Him and if we believe He is faithful, it's just easier to see Him. At the kids' church camp every day, they do God sightings, which is... it's funny because we used to do that in our youth group a lot at the end of a festival day or something. We'd have these God signs, like, what little thing did you see God in? Because when you look, He's there, right? He's not always going to reveal Himself by moving the mountain. Sometimes it's something smaller. And so He's certainly done that for us. And so as we've seen God is faithful, and as we've gotten there, you know, makes me think of this verse. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So that's it. It's that easy, right? Like, yep, game over. It. Let's close in prayer. It's just not that easy. It's not that easy for me, at least. God has provided our whole marriage, my whole life. I grew up seeing as a kid. I still don't trust it. Like, if we're honest, like, there's just times where I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? What is gonna happen? I'm panicking. I'm having like anxiety and panic attacks. And it's like, how is this gonna come together? And you know, I think God knows that we all wrestle with that. So we've moved down. It's been a year. It's gone quick. It's been great. But now there's more questions. There's new opportunities. There's new challenges. As Krista mentioned, one exciting thing this next month is I got an opportunity to go to Ghana for about 10 days and work in a hospital there with one of the faculty. And so that's awesome. I'm looking forward to going and we're serving, and it's not a faith-based mission, but certainly God has opened this door for a reason, and there will be hopefully connections and things to do there. And something I'm excited about, but a little bit nervous about. We also now face another new what's next, right? It happened after medical school. We didn't know what residency would be. After residency, we weren't sure what fellowship is. Finally now after fellowship is, where will we end up? What is gonna be this job that we find? Where are we gonna settle out? And that just, Krista knows right now, it is just bringing me so much anxiety trying to like think about all these possibilities and all these options. And sometimes it drives me crazy. But this, you know, the second half of that Philippians verse, after it says, you know, present your request to God, verse 7 says, in the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, right? And so sometimes when I do it well, which is not all the time, that peace, it's there, and I just know, and I just trust, and I can look back and say, God has provided for us, and He will continue to provide. And so I think our story, what we wanted to share is, you know, God has been faithful and God will be faithful. But as we tell the story, I also realize that's not what everyone experiences or how you felt. Maybe you're here and you don't feel like God has been that faithful, or maybe He's not provided for you in the ways you expected. And sometimes I think we struggle. Is it God? Has God not been faithful to us? Have we not been faithful to Him? What do we do in these situations? If you're sitting there and you're thinking, it's great, Josh and Kristen, your lives are awesome, wow. Golf clap. You know, it's no one is without challenges. No situation is without challenges, for sure. And I think what we want to share is that if you're feeling that you're in this time where it's really dark, where you don't have this, is to look back. Lately, our church that we've been going to has been working through the Old Testament, which one of the things, whenever that happens, I like to stop and think about is like how long humanity has been dealing with some of these same struggles. We get in like present time, we're like, this is the worst it's ever been. The worst it's ever been. I started this morning talking about slaves escaping and being pursued and saying, great, you brought us out here to die because there weren't enough graves in Egypt. Like, things have been bad at times throughout all of history. So when it feels dark, it helps me to have that perspective and that lens. So we've been talking about, you know, the Old Testament and times where God's been faithful. And we just went through the book of Judges. And what we were talking about there was restoration. And when we cry out to God, he will restore us. And sometimes I think that's what we need to do. So if you're feeling like, you know, it's great that God's faithful. I hear that he's been faithful to you. He's not been faithful to me. I want to encourage you to believe that God can restore and to cry out to him. In Judges, it starts off like this in verse 2. People have just come out of Egypt. They've made it through. They wandered through the desert. They were lost. Moses helped them. The Ten Commandments came down. Then Joshua took over. They're finally starting to get set up. They're finding their place. They've maybe now started to make inroads. But then what happens? It says in Judges 2, verse 10, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals. It had been a while. People forgot. People forgot what God had done. The ancestors, they didn't necessarily pass down those same stories of faith. And the people turned away from God. And guess what? God sort of said, hey, you no longer are going to have my hand over you. If you're going to break this covenant that we've set, this old covenant, which we thankfully have the new covenant, this old covenant, then I'm not going to be there. So it says, whenever they went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. But then the Lord raised up judges who saved them. And so there's a number of passages where we see that it says, and the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he turned against them. But then every time it says, but then the people cried out to the Lord about their oppression and their affection, and God brought a judge and raised them out of it. And so we have to remember that wherever we are, when you're in those times, that God, he is still with us. That was the old covenant. The new covenant says he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. But he does. He wants us to cry out. So before we close, you know, that one other verse, I think whenever we think about being faithful is something that I've sort of grown up hearing, and it comes to mind at different times when I think about how are we going to get through this? What is the struggle going to be? Like, are we going to make it? Matthew 6, verse 28 through 34 says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here for today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So as we go into this next chapter, we're trying to look back at our lives and see God's faithfulness, to look back at history, see his faithfulness to his people, and know that he is there, and know that he will restore us and he will provide for us, to know that oftentimes it's going to come from the people in our lives. You guys are still providing for us, still having relationships for us. We hope to do the same for you. It'll come through new relationships, and he will always be there. If things fall apart, he'll be there to restore us. So I hope that, I guess, this morning, maybe this is just a word of encouragement wherever you are, to remember that and to know that God is there. We want to close with one more song that I don't know if you guys have done here, but it's very easy to pick up. It's called Yet Not I, But Through Christ.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, strange and divine. I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. Labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead.
And all
the night has been won, and I shall Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. Still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this chance to return home. Thank you for friends, new and old. And thank you most for your faithfulness. Be with us this week. We love you. Amen.